GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Once a month, we get to give a salute to the members of the Maine National Guard. It's GHRT On Guard. And our good friend Major Carl Lamb of the Maine National Guard State Public Affairs Office is back in our studio. Major Lamb, welcome back to GHRT, sir.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having us.
And you bring a handsome guest with you, as you always do. Who's that sitting across the table from you?
Yes, sir.
Not George, the other guy.
I realize that. So, Rick, I just wanted to, you know, lead off with, I know you have the sarcasm filter.
Do I need to turn that on or off for this?
Due to continuing resolution, there's no federal funding for sarcasm right now. You don't have to worry about that. But you might need an acronym filter today. I just want to give you that disclaimer
okay.
up front.
Yes. Acronym.
That's right. Okay. So joining me today is Major Mike Gary. He's the executive officer of the 521st Troop Command here in Bangor, which in addition to the unit we're going to talk about today, also oversees our infantry company, our aviation assets, and the 195th Army Band.
Wow.
He has 7 years of experience on our Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Team as a chemical officer, and he also commanded the 185th Engineer Support Company out of Holton and Caribou. So thanks for joining us, Major Gary.
Thank you. Good morning, George.
Hey,
good
Gary, morning, Rick. Gary, you're busy.
We thought we were like
Rick has all kinds of titles. I don't have any.
Bro.
And Rick, do I recall correctly that your dad served in the 152 Field Artillery?
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
And when the... They consolidated into the 185. So interesting little connection there.
Yeah. My dad mustered out, retired as an E-8, at least that's what it was. I stopped counting the stripes on his arm, but I polished a lot of boots for him during his days in the Guard.
Roger that. Did you get any compensation for that, or was that just...
That's still outstanding. So that's still outstanding. One of the things that you were going to mention to us, CREs, what's a CRE?
The CRE, Seaburn Response Enterprise.
Okay, it's one of the acronyms you warned us about.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, military love acronyms.
Okay. We do, and every once in a while we develop a little extra vitriol for the English language, and we put acronyms within acronyms, which is what we're doing today. The major unit that we're talking about is what we call the CERFP, that's CERFP. And that within that stands for CBRN, Enhanced Response Force Package.
Correct. So the C, you can think of it as chemical, or you can think of it as its longer name, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and then Enhanced Response Force Package. So, yeah, the Army in its infinite wisdom, you know, creates all these acronyms. And they've handed that down to the National Guard Bureau, which is, so for the Guard side of things, is responsible for providing some response units over the course of time to help the first responders respond to things like, heaven forbid, something like a 9/11 or, the Oklahoma City bombing, or even our natural disasters. Quite a few of our elements have responded to some of the current hurricanes over the past few years.
And Rick, I think you've heard me lead with this before, but General Engel, who's the chief of the National Guard Bureau, one of the things he really likes to preach is the National Guard brand. And he describes that as building partnerships, supporting the warfight, and protecting the homeland. And the CERFP really encompasses two of those strongly, building partnerships and protecting the homeland. When we say building partnerships, a lot of times we're talking about with community organizations and things like that. But this is one of those cases where it's actually within ourselves, because our CERFP is made up of soldiers and airmen from Maine, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. And if you got the read ahead that I sent you there,
yes, sir.
Rick, they recently had some training in the Brunswick area. So it's a great opportunity for our soldiers and airmen to train jointly for what we call a DISCA mission, a defense support to civil authorities.
Well, you can't wait till something happens to figure out what to do, right? You've got to train for it. So the scenario, you were at Brunswick, the former Naval Air Station there, and trained for explosions, chemical. Exactly what were you working on?
Well, let me give you a little background to the New England CERFP. We're the only CERFP that is made up of multiple states, so that's unique. There is 17 CERFPs across the nation, and then there's a larger force. You can consider us a battalion size. We're a small battalion made up of 203 personnel, very specialized elements I'm not going to call them units because it's like an additional mission tasker. So we call them elements, and it's made up of soldiers and airmen across those three states that I named. So if you move on, there's in that handout I gave you, there's also the HRF, Homeland Response Force, which is a brigade size element. There's 10 of those across the nation. Again, us being unique, we're the only one made up of three different states, which presents unique challenges. But what I find here in New England, this mission set brings us closer together. Most of us, New England states work well together because we are used to cleaning up, you know, after natural disasters like snowstorms, windstorms, hurricanes, etc. So New England's already fairly tight, and this mission set definitely brings us closer together. We also, so we have seven different locations across New England that all these different elements come from. It's six different elements, but seven locations they come from, because one element is split between two locations. So we alert from those different locations, come together, and we will perform something like a collective exercise, which I call a CTE, collective training exercise, we did down in Brunswick this past, actually just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of our training revolves around a collapse structure. So we call it a rubble pile in our terminology, but a collapsed structure. So the bread and butter of our, what we do is our search and extraction element. And they have some very high technical skills like rope, confined space type training. And they are built to actually go into a collapsed structure and pull people out. So that's kind of the bread and butter of what we do. We also, once we pull people out, we decontaminate them. I'm going to say decon from now on, but when I say decon, it's decontaminate. And then we come, the Air Guard provides us quite a specialized element, a medical element that is highly trained. A lot of them are nurses, doctors on the outside world. So that provides a lot of good help for a response like that. So we all come together and perform a training exercise like that. We do it twice a year, so we don't get to see each other much. So when we do, it's usually for 3 or 4 days at a time at least, and there is course planning that leads up to that. We are mandated twice a year, which is 14 additional days of duty for those traditional units on top of whatever else they do. Our Air Guardsmen, they tend to do what their skill is. For example, we pull out of the Air Wing in New Hampshire. They are, that's their medical detachment to that Air Wing. So they're already doing what they're trained to do. For us Army folks, it is an additional training. For example, the S&E that I mentioned earlier, they have to go away and get the specialized training. Our S&E unit comes out of the 861st Engineer Support Company in Rhode Island. So they have multiple training for multiple jobs.
What's fascinating to me is someone might think, okay, Air National Guard, I know they respond to disasters, snowstorm, windstorm, flood, maybe a hurricane. I can understand that. Responding to a chemical, biological, radioactive, or nuclear incident. Just going to be honest, first, it sounds sexy, all right? Wow, you guys are really specially trained. But as a parent, I can imagine that sounds really dangerous.
Yes. So, like I said, we do specialized training. It accumulates to hundreds of extra hours. I won't say a year, but over the course of having that additional mission set, if you're in one of those units. So, for example, our search and extractors, they are trained to go into level C suit protection. And so they train for putting on mask, putting on a suit properly, and going down, what we call downrange, into a hot zone if there is an actual threat there, for example, like ammonia, chlorine, or you know, some kind of particulate like a radiological cesium-137, or even like something as simple as asbestos, or even so we know that a lot of times we may not encounter a threat like that, but it may just be dust and debris. Mm-hmm. So we are set up to do either or. For example, 9/11, our counterpart in the FEMA world is the USAR teams, Urban Search and Rescue teams. We are used to training with those folks, which are made up of highly skilled firefighters, generally speaking. We're used to training with them, and nowadays, if there was an incident or a collapse structure the size of 9/11, we would pair up with them and actually do combined missions with them.
Well, I think all of us would be kind of fascinated by all of it, but the DE element, the decontamination element, right away, Rick called it sexy. But it is kind of what you see in the movies. Mm-hmm. You see them coming in with their hoods on and everything. So you have about 75 personnel, and so you can handle ambulatory, non-ambulatory patients. But I was impressed with the fact that you can decontaminate 225 ambulatory patients per hour, and 75 non-ambulatory patients. I mean, that's a lot.
That would definitely be once we're all set up and ready to go. Usually what we strive for is a 60 and a 20. 60 ambulatory, 20 non-ambulatory. That's what gets us to pass our test. National Guard Bureau also sends people down to evaluate us every 3 years to make sure we are current on our training and make sure that we can meet the standards. So the 60 and the 20 is what we can do. If we're all set up and really have all the casualties, again, that's a lot. That's a huge number of casualties when you think about it. And I don't think we've ever seen an incident that's ever had that many casualties, but certainly we could, with 75 people on that decontamination line, we could process what we call processing people. The decon, if you think about it, is three big car washes, ambulatory, non-am, and then a technical.
We're glad you guys exist. We hope you don't have a lot of work.
Yeah, right.
But we're glad you guys exist. This is an aspect of the National Guard we were totally unaware of, Major Lamb.
It's a very specific mission set, and we have a lot of very specific mission sets. And as I've said before, you know, the Maine National Guard really prides itself on being always ready to support our state and nation, whether that's at home and overseas. And this is just one of those very specific scenarios that our guys and gals train to.
We got just a couple minutes left here, but are people like volunteering when they come and they enlist? Are they saying, I want to be a part of the CBRN?
Well, so like Major Gary mentioned, this is an additional mission set.
Yeah.
So soldiers and airmen will come in as one thing, and this is something that they would have to, correct me if I'm wrong, Major Gary, but apply for through their chain of command, put in an application for, because it is an additional mission set.
Yeah.
Well, it generally goes along with the unit. So if you're in that Rhode Island unit, the search and extractors, if you're in the 861st Engineer Support Company, and they have a 45-person requirement, you're going to have the opportunity to sign up for that. You don't have to. I mean, they want the people that are going to volunteer for all that additional hours of training and additional training days.
Mm-hmm. Got to have that good family support and that good employer support, because that's another 2 weeks of annual training that traditional soldier or airman is going to be away from their regular employment.
Look, in our final moment, can we ask this? Major Gary, does your mom and dad know you do something that could be potentially dangerous like this?
Oh, yes.
And they said what?
They know that I love this field of work. I've been doing it for nearly 10 years. As you can see on this diagram here, I've been a part of that, those different colors for all that time. So I enjoy it. I feel like I'm in the know, and I do love working with the first responders, fire departments, and police officers, and being in the know there.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.